What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the Tuned Into Momcast. This is your host, Sheena, and we are in episode 5 with Marcus Thomas. So community is big to me, and as many places as I can reach and stretch to talk about community and to integrate community with leaders and people who need support is kind of my goal. So we had a great conversation with Marcus Thomas of the Thomas Consulting Group, and he is also a pastor at my church. And he is someone that I look to when I want to consider integrating business and community with that social entrepreneurship looks like, how businesses can interact in the communities that they are in, that they get income from, that they employ. So sit back, relax, take notes as we chat with Marcus Thomas. When I'm not recording for Tending to the Badass Momcast, I am running my small business, Sheenballa. Check out Sheenballa.com for some unique custom pieces that help express your uniqueness and beauty. We specialize in custom jewelry that express you as a person, as a friend, as a lover, as whatever you want to be expressed as. So check us out at Sheenballa.com. And on all our social media pages, also at Sheenballa. And check us out on Thursday nights for Thursday Night Live on Facebook. What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Tending to Momcast. I'm here with a very special guest. His name is Marcus Thomas. Hey, Marcus.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I got with Marcus because Marcus is really close. We're not really close. I like to think that everybody I know is really close, but he's one of the pastors at my church, and that's how I met him. But the more I got to know Marcus, the more I realized he was really involved in the community. And then he started this really awesome consulting group called the Thomas Consulting Group. So Marcus, what drives your passion for community? How did you get to working into community?
So community has always been a part of my life since I was born. Philanthropy and community service and volunteerism has been something that has been embedded in me at a very young age. And so I just understand that in order for businesses to grow and thrive in the community, you have to have a thriving community. And so I just try to do everything that I can to give back to my local community because, you know, I've, you know, been blessed in many different ways, and I just want to do my part to give back to my local community to try to make it a better place to work, play, eat, and live for all citizens for the community that I'm a part of.
I love that. So tell us how the Thomas Consulting Group came about. I know that's something that's new for you. So tell us a little bit about that.
So, yeah, so, you know, COVID has kind of allowed a lot of people to kind of just sit still for a while. And kind of just, you know, rethink about some of the things that they may have been on their list of things that they wanted to accomplish. So I wanted to create a business, quite really know what it should be. And due to COVID, it kind of just dawned on me. I was one day sitting at home. It was like, why not just start a business about something that you're like, you, if you build it, the people will come. And so I decided to name my organization the Thomas Consulting Group and help organizations with volunteer management, community outreach initiatives, philanthropy, and just use my knowledge and my skills and my talents to try to help organizations be stronger players in the community. Because I definitely believe that I believe that having a strong presence in the community is vital and good for any business, for any company, and it should be a part of their business strategy plan. And so, and that's what I want to do, you know, just kind of to be that link between their organization and the community that they serve.
I love that. I'm a big volunteer at my company. I work for a pretty big company, and that is something that I love about them. They are very community driven, even, you know, at such a high level. We participate in like various segments of our community through community in schools, the junior achievement program. Mm-hmm. Those are just some that I participate in, and they even do like a really awesome charity match opportunity. So that bridging the gap, that social economics opportunity for businesses and even organizations that don't really know where to start, that's a very, very important and imperative function in our society, especially locally.
Absolutely, because I believe that people should, you know, organizations should, you know, definitely invest for impact. And I believe that by making that investment, they will feel good about that investment. Because as I said earlier, you know, thriving communities are very good for businesses. And then, you know, investing in their local community will allow their employees to feel good and connected to the environment and the people within the community that they live and serve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely makes a difference to know that, you know, you ride past this big building with this giant logo on the front of it, but they're also in the communities. They're also supporting you in your job and in your life. So that is really awesome. I really am excited to see more of the Thomas Consulting Group. And I'll definitely have to get with you on Sheen Bala, because they're, for me, I'm a really small business. I'm, you know, big giant corporation one. And but like, social work is something that I really love to do. There, we are running campaigns all the time for, you know, bracelets, and we give back to the community. We've donated to the Bennett Bills. We've donated to Miss High Point. We've donated to, I mean, I could just go on and down the list, mm-hmm. but community action is something that's important to me. So I would love to bring that, you know, hopefully I'm not your first client, but I'd be more than happy to be your first client. I'd love to see what that opportunity is like. So other companies that are listening, other business owners, and even folks that are building their business plan and business strategy, consider contacting Marcus Thomas and the Thomas Consulting Group to see how you can put that into place very early in the game, so you're not playing catch up, so you can lead with a social presence in your community.
Absolutely.
And we'll definitely get all your information about that. So to change a little bit, as we talk about community and family and work, how do you find yourself balancing your family and your work life?
It's a ever changing evolution. It's something that I'm learning day by day, because, you know, with everything, you know, with working in full-time ministry, you know, growing and trying to manage a business, being as involved with different boards and commissions throughout the city of Greensboro. And so just trying to manage that piece, but also understanding that, you know, my wife has a job, she has a life, and we have a 9-month-old daughter, and just things are constantly changing. So I think that it's just one thing that's been helpful for my wife and I is just trying to communicate as much as possible. And that way it helps us keep things in balance, and just knowing, okay, well, you know, Marcus has something he has to do this evening, or my wife has this meeting this afternoon that she has to do. So just to make sure that everything at home is intact as best as possible, but also giving each other enough grace to know that, you know, sometimes things just come up, or sometimes we may forget to mention something. And so just providing that grace towards each other helps keep the balance. But I've been very intentional about, you know, when I'm home, I'm home. You know, I'm not doing any work. I'm not answering emails or text messages, just trying to be home and be present, because I think that's important. And it helps me kind of to decompress and just kind of just relax, because if you're just constantly going, you're going to burn yourself out eventually.
Absolutely. That's a lifestyle that I live some days. And one little adjustment that I made is very important that you said, let home be home. So for me, I work from home full time now. And of course, the kids are home. So I have to figure out how to balance it. And normally I would go into work at 9 and be off by 6. Mm-hmm. But I noticed like the kids, they don't really, and I am not really a morning person. So a lot of my teammates work over on the West Coast. So I was like, well, why am I getting up so early? And, you know, like by the time we're winding down after dinner, everybody's settled, everybody's quiet, and I can sit at my desk and I do work. So I kind of adjusted my work schedule to be like 11 to 8. And that seems to be a really sweet spot because I can get up in the morning, I can cook breakfast, we can sit down and, do things, play a game or whatever right before Jax is nap time. So said like right now he's settled. So it is definitely important. So that like I have to like block out like what is home time and what is work time, but I definitely have to stick to that because I was finding myself just like every moment my eyeballs were open, I was working, I was mom, I was this, I was that, and it was really unbalanced. So that is definitely important. And that communicating, I'm lucky enough to be in a really great co-parenting relationship. So sometimes when I am just, I can't anymore, I can call him and be like, please save me. He's like, okay, I'm coming to get him. So it is very good that, to have that open communication, regardless of what relationship that you're in with your partner. That is something that is very important. So I'm glad that you bring up that communication and the evolution. You're going to have different needs at different time. Your spouse, your significant other, and your child is going to have different needs at different times. You have a baby, so you know what it's like for her to be going through those growth spurts or those work like wake weeks where she's grouchy the whole week. Her sleep pattern is upside down, and you have to accommodate to that.
Absolutely, you have to adjust
Yeah,
on the fly.
absolutely. And I mean, Jalen will be 6 at the end of the month, and I'm still constantly adjusting to how to parent with him. Like, we're here in, COVID, and yesterday he just kind of broke down, and I was like, what's wrong? He was like, I don't get to see any of my friends anymore. I don't get to go anywhere. And I was like, yo, I completely get it. But that's something like, because he plays the game all the time. And I'm like, dude, you're always on that game. But I had to like really reel myself back in and say, that's where his friends are. That is where his social life is in the game now because he can't go to school and he doesn't have that escape like he used to. So even, allowing, understanding that there, like you said, there's evolution to it. There are certain things that you have to constantly adjust, and you'll do that your whole life. The moment you stop growing is when you start dying. So
Yep, you're
that is
exactly right.
huge. I love that. Let's see. I'm really excited about Thomas Consulting Group.
Thank you. I am too. It's my baby. So I'm just, trying to go. And I'm sure as with everything that you do, like, when you have kids, your purpose and your mindset kind of shifts. And it's like, everything that you do now is for the legacy and for the betterment of your child. Because you want to try to make sure that you love a better life for them than what you may have had growing up. And I didn't grow up, impoverished or had a bad life, but I had a pretty great middle class life growing up. But it's like, everything I want to do now, like I want to take it to the next level for my daughter and implement, the things that I've learned in life so she could take it and take it to the next level. So, and I'm sure you're doing the same thing for your kids. So it's just, when you kind of go into the entrepreneurial mode, it's great, and I love it.
Absolutely. I definitely understand that because I've been at my company for 15 years, and then I was in the military before that. So I've had a maybe less than traditional path. So I didn't take the time to get my degree. I would started it and stopped it, started and stopped it, started and stopped it. And so one day, right before Christmas, I was like, I'm gonna finish this thing. One of my goals is to finish school. So now my kids are seeing, like they've seen Sheena, the entrepreneur, they've seen mom, the entrepreneur, the volunteer, the church lady, the PTA mom. They've seen me in all those aspects, but they hadn't seen me as a student. And it kind of changed their view on being a student. And then one thing we speak about our legacy is like sometimes you have to break a generational curse to bring forth a legacy. So we're at least in our community, the expectation is you go to college, you do these things, you do that, but you don't have to be, that's not the only way that you can be successful. You can do other things. The most important thing is staying true to your path, staying true to the journey that you're supposed to be on.
Absolutely.
And then learning and evolving and growing from that point. So yes, you definitely want to set a legacy out, but you also want to instill in them the ability to be flexible and graceful with themselves so they can continue to be motivated. So yes, they have something to step into, but they also have the mindset to step into it with, because they watched you be the example their whole life. Like, no, it wasn't traditional, but that was the way that mom did it, or that's the way that dad did it, and it was successful. So it's another picture of success for them. So maybe if I do these things myself the way that I want them done, or that God intends for me to do them, I can be successful too. So mm-hmm. I'm all into legacy setting. And I just pulled out a book I've had under my bookcase for a while called Buffettology, and it talks about investing and different ways to kind of secure more capital and more income, you know, for the long term. So that is definitely something I've been looking into as well.
Yeah, because it's important, you know, and part of the reason why, even like with my business, I named it the Thomas Consulting Group, because the idea was to always potentially one day pass it on to my daughter. Her passion may not be community relations, it may be something different. And you know, for her, it's like, hey, you know, the name of the business is already there. You can do any type of consulting that you choose to, you know, so you can either, hey, take over the company, you know, consult in whatever area that you're passionate about, or if you don't want to do it, that's fine. We can dissolve the company, and whatever money is made, I can give it to you. You can, you know, start your own path.
Right.
And so that's part of, like, you know, the investment for me. And you're right, you know, investing, you know, whether it's stocks or whatever the case may be, you know, you want to use your income to purchase more income. And right. So that's kind of just like where my mindset is at, like, you know, how can I, you know, take the income that I make, not just from my vocational, my full-time job here at the church, but just money that, you know, I potentially and will make from my business to purchase more income, the way so that, you know, my family is taken care of, and, you know, we can build that wealth. Because it's the difference between being rich and being wealthy. So I want my family to be wealthy. Like, you know, my goal is that, you know, whenever God calls my wife and I home, and, you know, and my daughter's here, you know, still living, still thriving, like, I want my daughter to be a multimillionaire, you know, when I'm dead and gone. Like, that's just what I'm trying to set her up for as much success, and that way she can write her own ticket.
Absolutely. She don't need nothing from, not to say she don't need nothing, because you always meet people, but yeah, I know exactly that you're able to, you know, start out on top, because that's where it happens. I'm here, these billionaires and millionaires, and it's because their, you know, dad loaned them $30,000 to start a business.
I mean, that's how President Trump started, right?
Absolutely. Jeff Bezos, he did the same thing. His dad helped him build his, Amazon up. So it wasn't, and then, you know, you just don't wake up overnight. Obviously, you have to have the work ethic. But it's definitely easier to start a business with, you know, a loan from a family versus, you know, you're doing things retail, making products to make income from that, you know, from scratch almost.
Right.
So it definitely makes a difference. So when we talk about family legacy and things like that, I'd like to pivot the conversation to some of the disparities that we have, or that you have as a Black man. So you did mention that you come from a middle class upbringing, but that middle class upbringing still looks different than it does across the board when you look at other classes or other races. So what are some of the disparities, or some of the things that you may have felt were an obstacle because you were Black?
Just really having the opportunities, just wanting to have the opportunities to have a seat at the table. So, you know, growing up, you know, my aunt, she's now the, well, for the past 10 to 15 years, somewhere around that time, she has been the chief operating officer for the largest grant writing firm in the state of South Carolina. And so, but prior to her obtaining, you know, this executive position, you know, she kind of had to struggle and come up through the ranks. And I used to always travel around with my aunt to different nonprofit events, or, you know, different things that she was doing. and just kind of just watching her her trajectory up the nonprofit or corporate ladder. And so, and just seeing just a lot of times, you know, for her as a, you know, number one, as a African-American, but also an African-American woman, and just the opportunities that, you know, may not have been given to her. And then as I continue to get older and chart and create my own path, it was, you know, kind of the same way as an African-American person, you don't have the same opportunities that your white counterparts may have. But there's a great book by Charlemagne the God called Black Privilege: Opportunities Come to Those Who Create Them. And so, and kind of just taking that mindset, okay, let me just work and let me create my own opportunities. And as you do that, you know, opportunities will come to you. And now with, you know, everything with the untimely death of George Floyd, I think that a lot of the narrative and things are changing, and a lot of African Americans are now being brought to the table to share their wisdom, to share their gifts and talents in many different areas. And so, you know, so although I'm encouraged by that, at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, I hate that it took a Black man losing his life for these things to start to happen. So that's just, you know, just some of the disparities that I've seen coming up in my professional career. Just having the same equal opportunities, because unfortunately, America is not an equal opportunity place. And that's just a reality that we live in.
Definitely. I see it, you know, even in my job, coming up, I noticed yesterday that, our senior leadership in my organization was all women, but none were Black. And I was like, that's like, we're almost there. We're almost to the diversity. We're almost to the inclusion. But like, how do you have, you know, such a large population of Black employees at the lower levels, at the worker level, and not at the executive level? So definitely my goal is to make my seat at that table. And it's awesome that you bring up that book by Charlemagne the God, Black Privilege. My brother loves that book. I'm not a fan of Charlemagne myself, but I have heard good things about the book. So I might break down and like listen to it on Audible. I won't buy it.
No, it's okay. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Can borrow your copy.
Yeah, you can borrow my copy. It's actually sitting right here in my office. And like, you know, don't get me wrong. I don't always agree with a lot of his ideologies, but
absolutely.
You know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes it's like this. You know, you eat the fish, but you leave the bones. So mm-hmm. you know, whatever is not for you, just don't take. Be your own filter. So that's how I just try to, you know, approach it with right. Not just,
I love bacon, but let's get the chitlins.
Yeah. you know, and that's not just with him, but that's just with anything, like anybody or any person of influence. Like, you know, you have to be your own influence, because everything is not tailored to you or meant for you.
Yes, we see that so much in cancel culture. We call it cancel culture on social media. Yeah. But it's like, you know, one person does one thing. And I was like, you're going to destroy this in person, like an entire legacy, because they did. Now, granted, I'm not upholding what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But come on. I have to even look back at, sometimes I look at myself and it's like, man, look what I grew from. Like, I used to be terrible about this or about that. And look at the amazing thing that I learned from it, because I was open-minded enough. So sometimes you do have to consider, like, maybe this person grew, you know, that's not completely out of the water. Like, that.
Right.
People grow.
Like, that may not be who they are anymore. Like, you know, absolutely. They may have come to the light.
Yeah, that may have been what changed him, or that was their pivot to say, you know, because that happened to me one time. I was knee deep into this argument, and you cannot tell me that I wasn't right. And as I was saying the things out loud, I was like, wow, Sheena, you sound ridiculous right now. Like, as I was verbalizing it, and it haunted me, my own words haunted me. And it was my pivot point. That was my wow moment. I was like, yeah, this is not, like, do you hear what you're saying right now? Is this what you believe? And if this is what you're saying, this is what you believe. So how can you change even your belief in something. So you have to like fill yourself with knowledge and fill yourself with different experiences to say, okay, like here's a new experience that I can build off of this situation. And it's a lot easier to believe with you what you've experienced or to get your buy-in once you start experiencing something. Exactly. So I might check out the book. So what's your advice, other than reading books, what's your advice to other young Black men trying to find their way?
To trust the process, and don't be afraid to try different things. I didn't land in, this job as in full-time ministry or a community leader, by accident. I tried different things. And, when I graduated high school, I knew that I was going to be this big time banker. I was going to be living in New York, working on Wall Street. Like that was my end goal. Mm-hmm. And I had a wonderful 14-year career in banking before I came into full-time ministry. And so part of me trusting my process was also, leaving, the door open for God to do whatever it is that he had planned for my life. And so me working in full-time ministry is not by accident. Like, I have two uncles who are senior pastors who work in full-time ministry. I have an aunt that is a minister. And so it was like me working in the church, was just part of God's plan for my life. And, everything that I shared about, growing up and being in the community and witnessing, my aunt and my grandfather doing everything they did in the philanthropy area. Like it's not by accident that I do everything that I do in my community. It's something that was a part of me at my conception. And, mm-hmm. and so I think that for young Black men who are just trying to find their way, just trust the process, find things that you're passionate about. And build upon those things that you're passionate about. Don't be afraid of failure. Like I learned more about myself from failing than I ever have about myself from succeeding.
Absolutely.
Like, failure is not a bad thing. Just make sure that when you fail great. Like you're yes. trying to do something great and you may have missed a mark, but just keep trying, like do not give up. Like I'm a big hip hop head. And I love rap music. I am unapologetic about it. Yes, I work in the church, but I listen to rap music every single day. It's a part of my DNA. It's part of what helps keep me balanced. And there is a great Kanye West verse. And in the verse, he said, my biggest fear is not failing. My biggest fear is not trying. So you have to try, whatever it is. That God-given desire that you have. And I'm not just going to speak and just assume that everyone, is a person of faith, but whatever innate thing on the inside of you that's burning on the inside of you that you have to try, get it out. Because you're never going to know what's going to happen until you get it out. And I never want anybody to live a life of regrets and just sitting back and wondering like, man, what if I really try to get that business plan a go? Like, Where could my life possibly be? Like, just try, because you never know.
Yep. And that one phrase that I like is don't eat the elephant. You can eat the elephant, but one bite at a time. So you see this big task. Mm. It's like, oh my God, you can't. I can't eat an elephant. Well, you can eat an elephant tongue. You can start at one place and then you say, oh, okay, well, that's not so bad. And then you do one more thing and then you do one more thing and then one more thing. And then you have a Dumbo on your hands. And it's like, I was able to do it. So that is definitely a great thing to take away is trust the process.
Yeah.
And I just got a process. Don't trust the end goal. Trust the first part and the second part and the third part and every single part.
Yeah. Because I put on Facebook a couple of days ago that, that your goals may be tall, but you need to start where you can. So like, just don't focus so much on the end goal. Like you said, just take the baby steps, just, keep chipping away at it as a pretty popular term that's going around. Rome wasn't built in a day. So, you just got to keep chipping away at it each and every day. And that's just how I approach my business. Like, do I get nervous about if, how if my business is going to succeed. Do I get nervous about, talking to potential clients and trying to help them come up with, something that's going to benefit not only their organization, but also benefit the community? Absolutely. But I wouldn't want to do it if I didn't get nervous or if I didn't get scared, because if I did get nervous or scared, that just tells me that my goals and my dreams are not big enough.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I welcome the challenge, because that's just the only way I'm going to get better.
Love that. So you mentioned Facebook. Where can we find the Thomas Consulting and then all the things, Marcus? Where can we find you at?
So yeah, so my personal Facebook page is just Marcus Thomas. My business page on Facebook is the Thomas Consulting Group. If you want to use the at symbol, it's just at the Thomas CG. Instagram, you can find me, my personal page. It's Marcus underscore Thomas 86. My business Instagram page is Thomas Consulting Group LLC. If you want to reach me via email to talk about any potential community relations or civic engagement needs that you may have, you can reach me at Marcus at the Thomas CG.com. And yeah, so that's just all the different ways to reach me. I'm here. I want to be a servant leader. I want to help individuals or organizations in any way that I can, and just try to help take people and businesses to the next level. That's what we're about.
I love it. Thank you so much, Marcus. I really appreciated you chatting with us today. We're going to put all of your contact information in your cool graphic and we will send that all to you. And I can't wait to see the awesome things that the Thomas Consulting Group is going to do.
Thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate the time and the opportunity to chat with you. It's been great, and definitely wishing you continued blessings with everything that you're doing and with your podcast, and however that we can support, we're definitely here to do that.
Thank you so much. I had a blast talking with Marcus, and I hope you guys learned something very important today. One thing that I learned was that there are people and there are resources to help businesses and entrepreneurs connect to their community. So reach out, start to look into your own community and your own cities and towns to see other folks like Marcus. And obviously, if you're in Greensboro and the Piedmont Triad area, reach out to the Thomas Consulting Group. Again, I want to say thank you all for joining with us today. And always remember to fill your cup up. You come first. Nothing else comes before you. I will talk to you all soon. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Tendin2, on Twitter at Tendin2, and all things Tendin2 Momcast at itssheena.com, itssheena.com.